This evening, I'd like to begin with the end in mind. And soon, I want to go back 6 weeks, because if you realize, this already is the sixth week since Rosh Hashanah. We were here 6 weeks ago. I remember speaking at that time. But I'll go back to that a little bit later. Recently, I have focused on three of the major parshanim, major meforshim of in psak and in understanding in Agadot of the Gemara and Gemara itself. I want to share something clearly with you. There is a Bala Turim. The idea is to keep this in context. There is a Bala Turim, famous, at the end of Parshas Chaye Sarah. The Bala Turim lived 741 years ago. That he was born 1275, and he was Nifter in 1340. That's before Columbus discovered America. If you want to just put it into context. So you're going back 741 years ago. And at that time he wrote at the very end of Parshas Chaye Sarah, where it speaks about Yishmael, B'nai Yishmael, our cousins, and he says about them, Al Pnei Echov Nofel, and Yishmael fell on the Nofal. He fell on the other people who were there in his time. And we've already seen Yishmael. Yado v'akol v'akol bo. His hands are on everybody and they hate him. And they go against him as well. It says, Somachle, after this last pasuk, it says, in the following week's parsha of Toldos, it says, Eila Toldos Yitzchak, Leimer says the Bala Turim, Sheyipol Yishmael be'achris hayomim. In the end, achris hayomim, Yishmael is going to fall. Azai Yitzmach ben David, Shehumi Toldos Yitzchak. Then, after Yishmael falls, Eila Toldos Yitzchak. Then ben David comes, Mashiach ben David, which comes from Yitzchak. Now that, it's not someone contemporary trying, make people feel good about the matzav that exists in Eretz Yisrael. We're going back 741 years. I want to share with you, going back 473 years to Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital was the major Talmud of the Arizal. And it's through his work that much of what the Arizal had to say is presented to us now as well. Going back 473, he was born in the year 1543 and was Nifter 1620. But you get the idea there. If any of you know more, if you can remember about general Western history, the Spanish Armada was destroyed in 1588 by Sir Francis Drake. And that ended the power of Spain in the New World. As Rabbi Avigdor Miller said, at that point, God forbid, had it been the opposite, then Jews who fled to America, to the New World, would have been destroyed by the Spaniards. But Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu works things out. Harbi Shluchim Yesh L'makom. But 473 years ago, so this is what is written by Reb Chaim Vital. Ode, he says, there are four major Golios. We learn about them of all. Ode Asidin Yisrael Liyos Ba'achris Hayamim BeGolish Yishmael. There's going to be somebody else, Golish Yishmael, in the Achris Hayamim. Omar ki Yishmael nikra pera adam velo adam gamur. You've heard already that Yishmael is a pera adam. And we know that there's a verb and a noun. The noun in Hebrew comes first. Yelid tov, boker tov, pera adam. Yishmael is a pera. He's in the guise of an adam. He may wear a tie, he may wear a jacket, he may be a professor, he may be a lawyer, but he's a pera. And this is what we have to deal with. At the same time, 473 years ago, says Reb Chaim Vital, it's going to be Lochain Galusu Takifa Mishar Dawud Malchius. Because he's a Per Adam, and the other Malchius were compared to animals, but he's worse. He's the wild person, the wild thing that looks like an Adam. So therefore, his Golus is worse than the rest. Kamo Shemr Chazal, Lachain Nikra Yishmael. His name is Yishmael, and one of the reasons is Al Sha'asidim Yisrael Litzok Tzaakos Gedolos B'Megaluso. Yishmael, Kael, Hashem is going to hear. What's he going to hear? He's going to hear the cries of the Jews during his time because he's painting us. It's already famous. We're familiar with this already. But the fact is, Afal Pichain, we understand from Reb Chaim Vital, we understand from the Balaturim, and just in a minute I want to go to a Marsha. But the fact is, in the end, Bachras HaYamim, he loses, he's finished. And he goes, as we say, into the dustpans of history. Then let's turn to the Marsha. The Marsha was born in the year 1550. Again, the context is important. It's not like something was written by somebody recently, you know, in order to be able to make us feel good. No. 461 years ago, the Marsha wrote this about a Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Ayin Gimel, Amud Beis. The Gemara in Ayin Gimel, Amud Beis, is a Gemara that speaks about Rabba Bar Bar Chana, who he lists 21 different stories. And the fifth one is the Inyan, as he says, he viewed a large frog. It was as big as 60 cities. And this frog was eaten up by a large either serpent or snake. And the snake was then eaten up by a female raven. All this is brought down in the Gemara. And then the raven flew up into the tree. And you can imagine how heavy, as is mentioned in the Gemara, that and strong tree branch was to be able to handle a raven that ate the serpent. That sounds like Chad Gadya almost. That ate the serpent. That ate the frog. But the Metzius says the Marsha the following, and this is 461 years ago. He says the frog is a remez to Yavan and Alexander Mukdan in Macedonia. Okay, and Alexander, who was of course became the king of almost the entire world, the known world at that time, that he vanquished in battle. And so the remez to Yavan is the frog, and the remez to Edom, to Rome, is the serpent. That's the Tanim. And the raven, who's the raven? Yishmael. And Yishmael, this is all in the Marsha. And the raven sits on the tree branch, and the tree branch is a remnant to Avram Avinu. Avram made an Eshel, Achila Shesia Lina, or Poshet Eitzim, where people could come and sit. The schus of Avraham Avinu made it possible for Yishmael, who comes from Avraham, and also has the bris milah except for Priya, that he has this koach, and he has the koach of tefillah, etc. We know all that. But the fact is, in the end too, he goes down too. This is the end, and as the first that we learned in the Balaturim, going back 740 years ago, 41 years ago, that the end after Golus Yishmael will come the Geula of Ben David. And he ends off in the Marsha. He says the following, the Rov HaGoyla will have them, they're going to be bothering us, Ad Bo Yom HaGeula B'mheirav Yameinu Amen Sela. So what I want to just emphasize to us is that, yeah, there is an ending, and it's a good ending. And we have to be able to do our best, because no one says, Achras HaYamim. When exactly is Achras HaYamim? ואף על פי שישממיה. אם כל זה אחר כלו, בכל יום שיבוא. בכל יום שיבוא. That's the way it could always be. And that's where we come in as such. So I want to go back to 6 weeks ago, that we, as we stood here. And little did we know what our situation would be as such. But the fact is, this reminds me of of the fellow who really loved his, what I just mentioned to you now, is he loved, I forget the name of the ball team, but he always wanted to see their games. And whenever he went away, he asked somebody to video it for him. So here he went away in a major, you can imagine like the World Series, if it was so, and he wanted to see the game when he got back. Anyway, and the person gives him the video, and he says, the so-and-so's won. So you figure, but he explained, no, it didn't bother me at all. I was glad to know, because even though at this was a game where there was halftime. Even though at halftime, in other words, my team was losing, but since I knew in the end they would win, I really wasn't disturbed. I want to say the same thing to us. Even though it may look at certain times like, oy vey, what's happening? And things are happening. Happening here right now, happening in the geopolitical world, plenty of things happening. But we know the end of the story. And there's no question. But the question is when? How? That's the part where we come in. The Apple P, she is my man. That means, too, at the end of Aleinu, every day, that we three times a day we say, Al tiro mi pachad pison. Don't be afraid of a sudden fear. When we show us Rishoyim Kisavo, or the Holocaust of the Rishoyim when it comes. Utsu Eitzu Visufor, they may plot against us. Dabru Dover Velo Yakum. They may do whatever may be happening. I hope it's a lady giving birth right now and she's being rushed to the hospital. But the fact is, Kaddish Baruch Hu is with us. And that's the way it is. It means as well, everything, you know, we may not be paying attention enough to it, but every Thursday when we daven at the Yom Shol, Yom Thursday, Yom Chamishi, at the end of the last four lines, it says like this, Lu Ami, if only Ami, my nation, Shomeili, if only my nation will listen to me, says David HaMelech in Tehillim, quoting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael, b'derocha yehalechu, Yisrael, if you'd only go in my way, kim'ah, in a moment, oyveyem achniya, I would subdue your enemies, the al sarehem, their enemies, referring to Klal Yisrael's enemies, the al sarehem ashev yadi, and on their oppressors I would put my hand. What's the key to it? Lu ami shomeili, if you'd only listen to me. And we're the ones, Baruch Hashem, who are trying so hard to listen. If you remember 6 weeks ago, if you want to get there, it's not too far. If you want to get there, it's not too far. If you want to get there, it's not too far. If you want to get there, it's not too far. Okay. Well, hasn't changed. Except now, you look around and we say, stop, look, and listen. You stop for a moment and you say to yourself, how am I doing? I made many Kabbalahs 6 weeks ago. How am I doing in those Kabbalahs? Look at yourself, look at ourselves, and listen to our own thoughts about this. It's time to stop and think. The Mesilas Yesharim says that one of the ploys of the Yetzer Hara is to keep us so busy that we don't think. We've mentioned before that every night before we go to sleep, we're supposed to give a din v'cheshbon to ourselves. Every at the end of the week, on Erev Shabbos, when the Yetzer Hara revs us up, we're supposed to give a din v'cheshbon. I'm going to come back to that in a second. And on Yom Kippur Cotton, the end of the month, think about what happened during the month. And then finally, a year from now, comes Rosh Hashanah. his desire is, we're so busy and so knocked out, at the end of the night, I'm chilling until, and then, whatever it may be, or I was in the base medrash, and then we're out. And the end of the week, all these important things to do in preparation of Shabbos. Like, you know, Shabbos, like, is it coming? All of a sudden, it's almost a joke. We know Shabbos is coming. We could prepare. How many people here know when Hadlakas Neiros is next week? The truth is, you're not balabatim yet, but I'm really speaking to all of us who are married. How many of us know when is Hadlakas Neiros? It should be that on Maitzah Shabbos, we should know already when Hadlakas Neiros is this coming Shabbos, this coming Erev Shabbos, so we should be able to prepare. The Metzius is, the brought down in Mishneh Berurah, for all of us who are married and those of us who are Erev married. You know what Erev married is? Erev married me is like Erev Shabbos. It's coming. You know, and it's going to come for everybody here. The Aruch HaShulchan brings it down that the Yetzirah is misamit. He uses that word. He tries hard to get us upset on Erev Shabbos. Bedafka. And no matter what goes on, no matter how many preparations, but the Metzius is, we certainly lower the opportunities if we start preparing for Shabbos by Motzi Shabbos, and then certainly we're ready. Hadlakas Neiros, by the way, is 7:14 this Erev Shabbos. Actually, I said 4:17. Okay, thank you. 4:17. All right. I spent Shabbos Tshuva in France this past Shabbos Tshuva. I was at a family simcha and then had an opportunity to go to the Navardic Yeshiva in Bussière. In Bussière, they have a particular mashal that they give, and they have a comment that they make that the worst gezeira that a person can have at the after Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aser Shemay Tshuva, Elul time is to remain the same. That's the worst thing that can happen to a person, is to remain the same. What's the idea? Give a mashal of a fellow during the time of the Tsar who ran afoul of the Tsar for some reason, and the Tsar put him in prison. Didn't tell him how long he has to stay there. He put him for a prison, and he was in prison for a year. Now, he got accustomed to the brackish water, and he got accustomed to the stale bread. There's one thing he couldn't get accustomed to, and that is he couldn't take a shower. He couldn't bathe. No bathing and no changing of his clothes. Can you imagine wearing the same underwear for a year? Can you imagine wearing the same shirt for a year? And there, in the dungeon, full of lice, full of all these other type of vermin, and perspiration, and everything else that was there. All this during the period of a year. Finally, the jailer comes and says, your mazel, you know, your luck is here. The Tsar is letting you out as part of amnesty that deals with his birthday. Wonderful. He says, listen, I'm going to give you a new change of clothing. I'm going to give you soap. Nearby is a river. You'll be able, after this whole year you weren't able to wash, you'll be able to go into the river. Put money in your pocket. You're on your way after you take care of what you have to take care of. This man is just like, he just can't be thankful enough. He goes to the water, he takes his dirty clothes, puts them in a pile. He takes his new clothes there in another pile, and he goes into the water. And he's jumping in the water, and he's doing everything. I mean, you can imagine, a whole year he hasn't had any water. It's like fantastic, cleaning himself off, fantastic. And as he's jumping in and out of the water, a Russian fellow passes by, and he sees a pile of new clothes. This is wonderful. He sees the old clothes, but he's not interested in the old, filthy, stinking clothes. He wants these clothes. And he sees, well, who they belong to. He sees the guy in the water. Fine. You know? Takes the clothes, and he's off. Man leaves the water. Now, after, you know, being in the water for a while, this man takes off, comes out, and he sees that the other clothes aren't there. You know, something like, where could I have put it? Where could I? And he's looking around. Maybe he thought he put it here, but... And then he realizes that they were stolen. And it comes, this realization comes upon him. And then he has to put, after cleaning himself off from head to toe and then some, he has to put those filthy clothes back on himself. You can you know, visualize, if it's possible, the letdown that this person has. So in the Vardic, they say that this is, a person goes through the Elul time, and he washes himself off between Rosh Hashanah and Aser Shemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur and all. And if afterwards, I don't mean immediately after this, but whatever, he goes back to what he was, Ein Lecha Gezeira Ra Gadol Mizo. And there's no question about that. That is for sure. Baruch Hashem, you know, we have a situation for us that we've had opportunity to grow, and we've grown a lot. This period of time, which, God forbid, we're running into the difficulties that we do, is like almost an extension of Aser Shemei Tshuva. Today I went and I visited Pesach Krzyzewski. Pesach Krzyzewski is the uncle to the Krzyzewski who was murdered a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. They were standing on Malchi Yisrael. A car came through, crashed into them, killed the nephew. And Rav Pesach, who's a man, a Yerushalmi, around 79 years old, the newspapers say, the person jumped out, well, not a person, that thing, jumped out of the car with a meat cleaver and hit him, as he told me today, in the ear, in the head, in the nose. And this was, and then he was neutralized. The fact is that Rav Pesach, his emunah is so, so stark. And his bitochen and his hodah to a Kaddish Baruch Hu was something that one cannot imagine. At least I was myself very moved by that as such. Brought him closer to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, brought me closer to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But this is the situation that exists of people out there, and Baruch Hashem, as the guy that said to me, the best and safest place is in the Beis Medrash. And that's for sure. The best and safest place is the Beis Medrash. And at the same time, when you have to go out, you go out as we do, in the safest places that we hope will stay that way as such. We have opportunity to learn an extra few minutes. We have an opportunity to learn to daven with that much more kavana, or to pop up. Think of it for a second. A person gets up in the morning and he says, I'm getting up no matter how tired I am, bischus, that this miserable situation should end. I'm going to learn another 5 minutes, or learn beretzifus, whatever is for another period of time, in order to be able, outside of Seder, that, again, this should go in to be able to help to put an end to this. Chesed to ourselves, chesed to others. In the morning, I give out I have been giving out. Yeah, I didn't make a netter to give, but I've been giving out the agorot to people who are here, at least, you know, as before I start davening. And to each person, when I put the money, wherever he is, I say to myself, Tzedakah tatzil mimavis. Tzedakah saves a person, God forbid, from mavis, from death. And the fact is that one doesn't have to be frightened that this is the situation per se, and therefore I'm giving tzedakah. But, I mean, think of it, as the Nesiv Shalom says, a person is on this madrega. Something could be coming his way. He doesn't know. And the fact is, when he gives tzedakah, he goes into a different level altogether. That's why sometimes a person's sitting down to eat. He wants to eat. It's a long day. He wants to eat. And all of a sudden, this is when a person's at home, you know, married at home or at home in general anyway, and someone's looking for tzedakah. Instead of saying, oh, nuts, this gets involved in this, you know, disturbs my supper. On the contrary, a person has the opportunity to be able to raise his madrega as such, and helping another person. So that, you know, we have opportunities galore to be able to help us, to help ourselves, to help others. Rabbi Yitzchak Edelstein, the Rosh Hashiva of Ponovich, said, we live in a miracle within a miracle. The first miracle is we in Israel. We're surrounded by millions, 50, 60 millions of wild animals. wanting to devour us. And the second mirror, and now we see in the midst of us. Now, not that we see now, at least now it's clearer. And the other part is, before this time, we didn't even feel it. Before this time, when you came here in the beginning of the year, it was Ke'ilu, you're going from Muncie to Muncie, Lakewood to Lakewood, Borough Park to Borough Park, Flatbush to Flatbush. Gee, this is great. And then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts off the Shemira a little bit. Uh-oh. The truth is, what we experience now should be no surprise. If a person lives in a cage with lions and leopards and panthers and cougars and tigers and cheetahs, what do you expect? We need always the Shemira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what we're davening for, and that's what we're learning for. And ultimately, that's going to be the way it is. There's no easy fix. There's no easy fix. The best way is what we, you know, you go, what school is there? The best school is Torah, Tefillah, Chesed, Emunah. That's the way that it works. The Gemara in Saita says, person comes to the point where he says, Amilan lehisha'ein, who can we rely on? Emunah. Only a Kaddish Baruch Hu. In Gaza, Iron Dome. In the other place, another reason. Not, it's very hard to rely on the Iron Dome in our situation right now. Amilan lehisha'ein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, just like in the time of Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives opportunities for people to make a mistake. What's the mistake? How were people saved in the time of Noach? Pasha, what do you mean? That's such a silly question. How were people saved? Noach built a teva. He worked on it for 120 years. Do you think there was enough room in the teva for all the animals? For all the food? For all the waste? For all the... Of course not. But as the Ramban says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to be memayit eines, gives us other opportunities so that we should say, oh, maybe it's not this, it's that. So that we have to come on to our emunah. The key is that we have to work on that emunah. And we have to work as well on Avas Yisrael in place of Sinas Yisrael. There's a person here, you look around and you see, out there, terrible sinner. Not just in the Arab world. It goes all over. I don't have to tell you. You know probably even better than I. At the same time, we can generate Avas Yisrael. What opportunities do we have in this laboratory, in our rooms, in the basement, the lunchroom, you name it. But a person has to think about it and be able to then actualize it as such. The Eibishter will help us to be able to be the Halavai. We should be the Prat Yisrael, who is there as well when the Klal Yisrael will have the Geula Shalema that will put this whole situation to rest.